chapter 9 with me. Joshua, first book.
After the book of Moses. The book of Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, called the Pentateuch. First five books of the Bible. The whole Bible stands or falls on the Pentateuch. That's the beginning of the Word of God. And nothing in the Bible is more important than those five books. So this is the first book after the Pentateuch, and it's about Joshua. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that instead of talking about what Joshua did, they called him Jesus. That's no mistake, because Joshua is certainly a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find them many times. But don't you call your attention to verse number 1 of Joshua 9. It came to pass when all the kings which are on this side Jordan in the hills. This side means on the western side of Jordan. We're on the side of Jordan, the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon. Now he names them. The Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof. What did they hear? They heard how Jericho and Ai had fallen. They heard how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel had been moving through the promised land unabated, that he was able to take what he pleased. Verse 2, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Father, bless the holy word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You'll notice that the promised land is inhabited by six major groups. We have subgroups within the major groups, but these are the major groups. And there are six of them. Six is the number of man. I believe the Holy Ghost is calling your attention to the fact that this is man and man's glory and man's habitation. The Bible said in the book of Genesis chapter number 12 that God gave this land to Abraham. He gave it to Abraham when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He came through it, went on down into Egypt because the Bible said there was a famine in the land. But then when he came back, Abram came back out of Egypt. He went to Bethel, house of God. There he pitched, made an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And God led Abraham in stages and revealed himself to him in degrees. As Abraham's life progressed, he learned more and more and more about God. And my dear friend, when they went off into captivity 400 years, he told him in Genesis 15 that know of a surety that your seed will be in a strange land 400 years. But he said in the fourth generation, I will visit you and deliver you. They did. 400 years, Israel was in Egyptian captivity. Then God raised up one man. His name was Moses. Moses was, to this day, folks, when you talk to a Jew, there's none higher than Moses. He was the lawgiver, and he led them out of Egypt. And his time came that he would pass from this world, and he personally handed the reins to Joshua. And God said, I will increase Joshua in the sight of Israel. When they see him, they'll understand that he had the same authority that you've had, Moses. And so Joshua becomes the leader, therefore the captain of the host of the Lord. And what happens when we go into this land? It's not just people. The issue is far greater than simply we have squatters, as you might say, in the land. We have an issue going on. That issue is their gods. Their gods are Baal, Ashtoreth, Milcom, Shamash, Tammuz, Queen of Heaven, Molech, and on and on and on it goes. These gods may be something carved out of stone. They may be carved out of wood. They may have a pile of stones piled up somewhere. They may be made in brass or what have you, this and that. But my dear friend, it's not that that matters. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, when the Gentiles offer a sacrifice, they offer it to devils, and devils are demons, and these are spirit beings. A spirit being is an important thing because they are invisible to the natural eye. These people that practice their religion practiced it by bloodletting. You remember the prophets of Baal on the top of Carmel, how they beat themselves. They practiced their religion by child sacrifice. You know what happened at the Valley of Hinnom when their little children were screaming, going to be burned alive, and they beat the drums. And fertility practices. Androgynous priest, for example. What's an androgynous priest? Male and female brought together in one being. Look the word galli, G-A-L-L-I, if you want to do a little research and you get home, and you'll be amazed at what you find out. They castrated themselves and they wore women's clothing. What they did was, it's gender dysphoria. They changed the gender into another gender. And so we find out that these people were absolutely taken up with sexual identity, no question. And this had to do with their gods. They had drugs and they had music and they had demon possession. And the Lord God would drive them from the land. Why? Because he would not have his people mix and mingle with that kind of thing. The Bible said of us today to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you as sons and father. And my friend, we need to understand what that means. It doesn't mean that you can't go to work tomorrow, but what it does mean is where you put your soul. Where's your heart? Where's your life? What are you living for? What are you about? And so we find out in the Bible that the spirit world is what the issue. It's not about people. You can remove people, but my dear friend, there's a higher something going on than people. Start at the top, and it's Almighty God. There is none beside him. There's only one God, the invisible, absolute, almighty being. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. There's none like him, never will be any like him. He's one of a kind. He manifested himself to man and made himself known in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that you've ever seen of God is Christ when he was here 2,000 years ago. Anything else is a manifestation of God. You may see a manifestation of glory. You may see a body that looks like the body of a man. But friend, God Almighty simply gives you that because you can understand that. God is much greater than all of that. Then you have angels. Angels of God and the angels of Satan. Cherubim and seraphim and watchers that we find in the book of Daniel. Then we have demons and we have Satan. And then we have principalities and powers. The reason I call attention to that is because it is today. It is over this earth. It's everywhere to be found. The Bible said in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wrestle there is the Greek word pale, and it means a contest between two, in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold him down with his hand upon his neck. And this is wrestling, which is ancient, which goes back a long way into the history of humanity. So this spiritual battle is where he's able to put his hand on your neck and pin you down. And plain words, you become helpless. And you become, you're nothing in the war more than another victim of a spiritual power that is moving on this earth today. Don't let him do that to you. The Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Israel must be separated and protected from this. Why? Because the Messiah is going to come from Israel, and the scriptures are going to be written by Israel. The oracles of God given to the Jew. And the word of God is the only truth you have to lead you to God. Your feelings can't lead you there. Science will never lead you there. Intellect will never find you. Can't, by searching, can you find out God? No. But by his revelation in his word, he'll bring you there. So therefore, it was necessary that these people would be segregated. They would be sheltered. They would be set apart for the purpose and the ministry of Almighty God. These spirit beings wanted to destroy the bloodline of the Messiah. That's a special thought in its own. Now think about what I'm about to say to you. There are two genealogies in the New Testament. One in Matthew, the other in Luke. If you look at Matthew's genealogy, you find women show up. Therefore, it's not tracing the seed of anything. But when you go to Luke chapter number 3, you'll find out they're all men. And you'll find out the men go all the way back to God Almighty himself. Therefore, it is a genealogy of seed that brings it down. Now, say, what does all that mean? I don't know what all it means, but I know one thing. God pointed it out to me, and I've been doing a lot of thinking on it. Think with me on it. Maybe God will show us something. Why the seed in Luke 3 and no seed in Matthew chapter number 1? So we find here that the genealogy is important. From Israel all the way back to Adam. It doesn't say that of any other. It doesn't say that of the Gentiles. It doesn't say that of any. But of the Jew traces his seed all the way back to Almighty God. So what is a demon? Where did it come from? Some say a demon is a fallen angel. Some say that it's the souls of a pre-Adamite race. Some say it's the souls that died in the flood. Some say it's the Nephilim. Some say it's the souls of the wicked.
Bottom line is, folks, nobody knows exactly where they came from, but they are evil, wicked spirit beings. We know that. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, the devils, the word translated devils is daimonion, it's demon. It is a spirit being. The old ancient Greeks thought it was a good thing to have a demon, that it gave them wisdom. It gave them knowledge that others didn't have. So they sought after the demon. Of course, they were walking in darkness. Darkness is all they ever knew. And they could never find their way out of the darkness. The only way you'll ever find your way out of the darkness, are you listening to me? Was when the light turns on and you can see the light and come out of that darkness. Amen. So, what is a demon? Where did it come from? What are its limitations? What is the power of a demon? Why are some more evil than others? These are questions that the Bible poses. And why do we have no answer? Because things are kept in the wisdom and mind of God that one day He will reveal to us. They are spirit beings. And as I've said to you time and time and time again, there is nobody, I don't care who he is, that can define the essence of a spirit being. If God can be everywhere at the same time, and yet God is one, Genesis chapter 6 verse 4, Deuteronomy 6:4, if God is one being, how can he be everywhere at the same time? We use the term in theology, it's called omnipresent. Simply a big word, it means he's everywhere at the same time, yet he's one being. What's the difference? He's a spirit being. That's what it is. Your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The devil is a spirit being. Is he limited to one place at one time? Or can Satan be working you over here while he's working over somebody in Japan? Think about it for a moment. Are you the only one that Satan can be dealing with at one time? Or does he have the ability to be dealing with far more? The Bible said, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's a mystery, folks. That's a mystery. So the doctrines of devils are these: universal salvation, many gods, morality relative, attaining godhood. These are the doctrines of devils, and I could go on and on and on with it. What is it? Many churches in America are preaching that gospel. They are New Age churches. They don't care anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about them. It's about how they can elevate themselves. It's how they can make something of themselves. Me, myself, and I. That's what it is. Your greatest victory you'll ever get in this world is when you can get away from me, myself, and I. Amen. Amen, amen. So we come to gender dysphoria. In the book of Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 43, it says this. Daniel 2 verse 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. When you get home, look up that word mingle. You'll be amazed at what it means. It literally has to do with joining themselves to, becoming something else, to mingle with the seed of men. Remember what I said about the seed of men in the book of Luke chapter number 3? It's an important thing to understand, folks. When God made the woman, he didn't create a new human being. He made her from the man. He only made one man. For as by one man, sin entered into this world. So he made the woman. Today we have men that are being feminized. Feminized. One said males can achieve maximum feminization. Why would a man want to be a woman? Why would a man want to be feminized? We have gender dysphoria. We have them telling us that if you don't feel like that you should be a man, then we'll shoot you full of hormones and we'll make you into a woman. Well, let me tell you something about that. You still have XX chromosomes, or you have XY chromosomes, and no hormone is going to change that. And I thought about what is the difference with that Y chromosome, because it was here first. When God made Adam, he put that identity in that Y chromosome, and I haven't had any time to dig into it. Think about what I'm saying to you. Do a little digging on your own. What's the difference between the Y chromosome and the X chromosome? There we are. Man is man and woman is woman, and they will not change their gender. It's important for you to understand, men, be a man. Have you noticed how many men today have soft, lisping voices? Have you noticed today that masculinity is leaving mankind? Have you noticed that the assault is not on females, it's on males? Why? Why do they go after the men instead of the women? Why? Because the seed is in the man and not the woman. Why are we doing this? Why is all this happening before us? There's an ultimate goal. There's a purpose. Now, the people doing this may not have a clue. They may simply be searching after their own ends and their own agenda. But there is a spirit being above them that is smarter than them, that is using them to bring about what he intends to do on this earth. I've often said, now, Lord, why is it? I sit around and think about stuff like this all the time. Why is it? If so many are dying and they're going to hell and we come on generation after generation after generation, why don't you stop it? What's the point? What are you trying to prove? Why keep going on and on and on and on? Are you listening? Are you listening? Think. Why does it continue on and on and on and on? Why can't God stop it? And I believe he gave me an answer. He says, I'm going to let it rise to its top. I'm going to let it reach its fruition. I'm going to let it establish itself into all its power and glory in the Antichrist. And I'm going to destroy him in the presence of all of his disciples. And that was a good answer to me, because that began to make sense. I thought to myself, there's something in that. That makes sense. That there's a reason why God continues to let it. Now, did you know, on August the 6th, 1945, Colonel Tibbetts and the Enola Gay dropped a bomb on Hiroshima, killed over 100,000 people immediately, and then other thousands died after that. And Robert Oppenheimer's his name. He was one that worked on this, a very brilliant man, no question. He quoted the Bhagavad Gita, and he was talking about how we have created this enemy where we can destroy ourselves. He was literally saying we have entered a new age of mankind. Well, we had. When you can drop a bomb like that, and then a few days later hit Nagasaki with another one, and wipe out hundreds of thousands of people, you have entered into the nuclear age, and the world would never be the same again. Are you following me? Well, when they created a virus over there in Wuhan, China, and that's where it came from. That's where, don't let anybody flim-flam you. That's where it came from. That's where four-star generals have said, that's where it came from. It's a weaponized virus. And when they can create something like that and unleash it on mankind, and you've seen it unleashed on mankind, we've entered a new age. It'll never be the same again. And that's what I want to deal with that. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to talk about. Let's look at the androgynous priest. He would castrate himself, dress in women's clothing. The Galli, G-A-L-L-I. They had androgynous gods. Baphomet was one of them. You can find him, just type in the internet and you'll find him, pull him up. He's there. With today's technology, Satan can alter the seed of men and produce his own version. Let that sink in. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Why is that important, preacher? Because man was made in the image of God. This is why Satan went after Adam, because he was made in the image of God. If Satan can destroy the image of God in man, and man is not after the image of God anymore, there's probably not a lot different between him and a good old hound. And some of the hounds out here are probably smarter than some of these people I've met. You know dogs are pretty smart. They can understand 15 or 20 different languages, don't you? A Japanese dog understands Japanese, Chinese dog understands Chinese, French dog understands French, so forth and so on. But they can destroy the image of God in man. Now meditate on that, because that's where I'm headed. Destroy the image of God in man. There's what Satan's going to do. He's going to do everything he can to mingle with the seed of men. You know, not just kill men. He'll kill you in a heartbeat if you, you know, deliver one such and one to Satan, destruction of the flesh. Sure, he'll do away with you. But Satan's got a higher motive in what he's doing. How's he do it? Well, let's look at this. He creates a crisis. When you create a crisis, I heard a man say years ago, he said, wartime. He said, in wartime, everything speeds up. And it made a lot of sense. It speeds up. Things get done overnight that used to take a year to get done. Why? Because of the time, because of the crisis, because of the necessity of it. All right, and we've had this virus come on. COVID-19, 2019, here we are in 22. It hadn't gone away. It's changing from COVID-19 to Delta to now Omicron. And on and on and on and on it goes. Variations. as it changes, and it changes. That's one thing. But the way they are handling it is something else altogether. How do you do it? First of all, you create a crisis. It's created crisis. Get a hold of that. It is a created crisis. Created crisis. That ought to make your blood boil. Especially if you've lost a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, somebody close to your family, a loved one, and you've lost them to this miserable plague. That ought to fire you up. Now, the thing that's always bothered me about this, it's always bothered me. Why are these governments of the world not doing anything about where it came from? They know where it came from, which immediately makes me think they may be party to the greater agenda. All right, they prepare the people. How do you prepare the people? First of all, you redefine gender. That's where they are. They're all messed up. All messed up. Let me tell you something, men. It's all right to be a man. Amen. Young men, you young boys in here, it's all right to be a boy. Amen. Young ladies, these beautiful girls, it's wonderful to be a girl. Amen. And then you grow up and to become a mother and have the greatest respect in the world. It's good to be a woman. You come into this world the way God wants you to come in this world. There's nothing wrong with being a woman. There's nothing wrong with being a man. Do not let a bunch of brainwashed idiots come into your life and begin to move around and try to change your identity and your gender, because they all have motives. They have motives behind what they're doing. They redefine gender. They redefine marriage. That's what's happening right now. Marriage is being redefined. Here we have two feminine men, I guess you'd say, and they want to get married. Two masculine women, and they want to get married. And on and on and on. And they say, if you say that a marriage is only between a man and a woman, why, you're a whatever they want to call us. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's what I am. Absolutely. Amen. I am, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, a male and a female. Amen, amen, amen. And then they want to destroy the social order, the social structure. Now, what does this produce? It produces confusion. And the whole system starts to come apart. And you're watching that now. You're watching, and it's not going to stop. It's going to continue. Once the human mind's been conditioned to accept this, the time is right. Satan will make himself into a man. Revelation 13. He will incarnate himself into a man. Now listen. When God Almighty incarnated himself into a man, he made himself vulnerable. Vulnerable to death. Didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ died. It's impossible for God to die. But the man Christ Jesus, that body died, and according to Hebrews chapter number 2, he tasted death. Amen. That's another one I don't... You think about what that means. He tasted death for every man. Now what happens? Well, if Satan incarnates himself as a man, which he will, Revelation 13, the beast has a deadly wound, and then after 3 days his wound is healed and he comes back alive, and who can make war with the beast? He that was dead is alive, and now Satan has incarnated himself in a man. He's made himself vulnerable. He's made himself vulnerable. By making himself vulnerable, that means that he can be taken physically, visibly, in front of God's creation, and destroyed. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, when he comes, he will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Who? The Antichrist. He's going to take him, the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, going to lay him down before them, and they're going to say, is this the man that made the world to tremble and shake in fear? He will destroy his body and cast his spirit and soul into the lake of fire. Now, I want to read something for you this morning. I just want to read it because I want you to take in what I'm saying. It goes good with this message. This is from China. Get that a hold of that. Scientists have made artificial sperm. They used it to fertilize
eggs. What's that do? Artificial sperm. What do you mean? They don't need the man anymore. All these feminized men, they'll probably wind up somehow or another and going down the line to chemically castrate all the men and turn them into an androgynous thing. But anyway, a sperm they've created. Listen to this. This is from futurism.com. Scientists from Nanjing Medical University in China managed to create artificial sperm. It has been used successfully to fertilize mouse eggs and produced healthy offspring. They used embryonic stem cells to grow what is now dubbed as the most effective test tube sperm cells ever. Embryonic stem cells, folks, is the gold standard. If they can get an embryonic stem cell, that's where the child is developing. They can, a stem cell that can turn into any kind of a cell in the body and become a specialized cell. It could be an ear, it could be an eye, it could be a heart, be a lung, or any of that. It's amazing how that happens. You'd almost think there's somebody a whole lot smarter than them wrote that DNA code. Listen to this. The embryonic stem cell to grow what is now dubbed as the most effective test tube sperm cells ever. Their artificial sperm is the first in the world to meet a set of criteria that was established by three fertility researchers, 2014, earning them the gold standards for proof of meiosis. Now I'm going to read all of it. No need. You can read it. I'll leave it up here on the pulpit if you want to read it. And you can go to the website. What have they done then, preacher? Here's what they've done. They've turned loose a plague on humanity, which immediately affects the social order of humanity. By affecting the social order of humanity, somebody has got to get this back together again. And the one that's going to get it back together again is the Antichrist. He's going to pull the whole world together. But he wants, Satan is so vain. He wants to destroy completely mankind. He wants to take the image of God away from you. So how does he do it? He mingles his seed with the seed of men. How does he do it? Well, right now, your stuff's going on. I'll stop. I'm not going to say some things today because I don't want to upset people. I don't want to upset you. But there's a lot of high-tech high-tech stuff going on right now, high-tech stuff, and it's going to yield something. Something's coming from it, no question about that. And that seed will not be the seed of man. It'll be the seed of Satan, and it'll be something created in a lab, and a whole world is prepared. Now, I got a letter, an email yesterday from a lady, and she said that, the preacher, she said, I've been listening to you for years, and she said, years ago, you talked about CRISPR-Cas9, and I did. She said, that got me to thinking. And then she sent me some reference material, and she said, look at this. She said, Jesus is coming soon. Now, I believe that, folks. I believe you are at the door. I believe you're at the door. If there's ever been a time for the Lord Jesus to come back, it's right now at the door. Watch now. Keep your eyes open. See what's the next thing to come down the pike. Watch it. Watch these variants as they continue to come. Watch the way they handle it and watch what they lead you to. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Bless your word and bless the people. And Father, it's a truth that I've learned a long time ago. If a man wants the truth, he'll get it. And when he gets the truth, he'll accept it or reject it. Once he sees the truth, he has to make a choice. I pray for those that have heard this, those that will hear it later. I pray that they just stop and think for a minute. Stop and think. What's going on? In Jesus' name, amen.